Here's something I'd like to talk about a little bit, just something that I've found interesting today, is this feeling of like climbing out of a pit where I don't know what I dreamed about last night or what the fuck happened. But when I woke up today, I felt so fucking bad. And like my sleep schedule is still just drifting further and further and further. Like some days I go to bed at 5 in the morning, sometimes 9 in the morning. Like I just gotta quit this shit because I gotta wake up next weekend in, 6 days, I guess, to introduce Andrew Plotkin, and that's at like 12:30. I gotta get up early. I gotta stop this. It's fucking insane. Or try to just go fully the other way. So I only had about 5 hours sleep, and I woke up and felt just awful, but I wanted to stay up. It's like, I have to fix this schedule. It's getting ridiculous. But I just felt so bad about... so bad about how things are going, and this rift in the little friend group here in Toronto, and just these people where... again, like, it's so strange when I think about people I used to know that I'll probably never see again, and I just don't really mind. Like, I can really think about it and really focus on it, and it's like, it's okay. It's in the past. It's like, I'm moving on. I'm doing other stuff. It honestly just doesn't hurt. It doesn't feel bad. I don't... you know, it's like I learned some things, but I don't feel like a lot of regret or guilt or anything. And I guess that is just a matter of time. Where it's just weird in the situation because I'm still right here. Like, in those cases, it's all cities that I don't live in anymore. And I'm just gone and I'm somewhere else. And that was kind of going to be the plan this time, was I was going to move to Newfoundland or Vancouver. And then I didn't go right away. I came back here. And then again, at the end of November, I was going to move again because this lease was going to be up. But now I can stay, and it's just like nebulous. And I, like, it's really tough to justify moving to Vancouver as like some kind of stunt move when I don't need to go anymore. And like this place I live, I kind of like it here, you know, like it's been a weird, lonely time, but it feels like a place where I'm like building something, you know, like I'm going to remember this place really positively, I think, where it is just like buckling down to do work and all this exercise and just like all these weird things that I figured out. You know, like I feel like this is like a kind of cauldron where I'm boiling something up. And it's just useful. It's like a fully furnished place, and like it's got a couch and it's got dresser drawers and it's got a microwave and a little stove and all this stuff. Lamps and just tables and chairs, but when I move, I don't need to take all this stuff. Like, to me, that's a bonus that this isn't my stuff. When I go, this stuff all stays, and I just don't have to lug it around or worry about it. But because of that, I mean, I'm still just in Toronto. And these people that I'm having this falling out with are in Toronto, but my friends still see them. I still see those friends. It's like, it's just split now. It's just split down the middle where it's just... and I mean, it was splitting anyway. Once we stopped doing the Vinyl Countdown podcast, like, people don't hang out together very regularly anyway. I guess it doesn't even really change that much, but I still woke up today just feeling guilty and just like ashamed. I haven't really felt like this in a bit. I mean, I felt like this more right when I got broken up with, like, just would have those days where I'd wake up and it's like, that's where when I read about like borderline personality disorder, which is a stupid name for it, I don't know why it's called that, but like this idea of emotions being like the whatever center in your brain that regulates emotions, it's like too much, you know, it goes off too strongly and for too long. And they've done tests on people, and it's like the same as like people with post-traumatic stress disorder. Like, it's like reacting like you've been in a war when all that's happened is your life has been a little bit tough, or, you know, something that hurt you a little bit, but instead it's way too much. But I haven't felt like that for a while, really. And today I did. I just woke up and I felt like that. And it's like, oh, what a terrible feeling. When I had my big falling out with the Keith and the Girl people in New York, it was like that. Like every day I woke up for like 2 weeks, every day I woke up just my heart pounding, just feeling so awful. And it seemed like I went to bed feeling like that. I woke up feeling like that. It's like, did I feel like that all night? Or did it just kick in as soon as I woke up? Like, it's really, who knows? I don't know how it works. But now I don't feel anything about that. It's like, you know, it's now it's like I can just be philosophical about it or whatever. With time in my life, some people that I knew, whatever. So I don't know. I mean, I guess that'll just happen with this too. And it'll be a lot easier if I do move somewhere else. Physical distance, I mean, that's it. It's over at that point. Well, I say that, but I mean, I remember I was hung up on Erica for a pretty long time, even after I moved back to New Brunswick. But, man, that was something. I listened to an old ham radio about the Gandharvas, really old episode, but it was, man, quite a long time. Probably a year after I broke up with Erica, and I just remember I said some shitty stuff about her on that podcast, and it's like, dude, I was still that hurt, like, after a year. I was pretty disappointed in myself, to be honest, because, I don't know, I forgot that kind of, that... Because I think, you know, pretty highly of her overall. I was surprised to hear what a little asshole I was. And I mean, I guess I still am like that. Like, that's where I was saying, like, I feel like some useful stuff is coming of this time and this place, this apartment, this time in my life is like, I don't know, I feel like maybe this is finally time to really kind of smarten up a bit. Not right away, not all at once. It's really hard to do. I guess in particular, like this girl that I had the fling with, her boyfriend guy, you know, like one of our mutual friends was kind of like, you know, why don't you just fucking let it bygones be bygones and water under the bridge and we could just go back to normal? And it's like, I don't think I want to do that, you know? I don't think I want things to go back to normal. I don't know. I just feel like I just don't. Like, that's a guy that I want to be in the past. That's a guy I want to just be separated. And it's like, it's fine. We had our time. It's done. I really think I'd be okay with that. It's just that he's connected to this other person that I would prefer not to have to let go of. But if, like, the price to hold on to her is that I've got to try to hold on to him too, like, I just don't think I can. It's like, it's a nice idea of, you know, forgive and forget, live and let live, whatever. And it's just like, yeah, I just don't know. I mean, if you just kind of don't like somebody, you just don't really like what they're about, you don't really like their attitude, and you don't really like the kind of sense of life they have and the view of the world and the way they treat people, it's like, I don't know, dude, I can't be everybody's friend. Like, there has to be a point where it's like, this is not the type of person for me. So I guess, though, if you boil it down to, you know, like, am I letting go of somebody I like just to spite someone that I don't, you know, as opposed to trying to get along with someone that I'm kind of tired of for the sake of someone that I like more? Like, I guess if you just put it down on paper, it's like one side seems, the side I'm not following, I guess, seems like the better way to be, but I can't be like that, you know? Maybe someday I'll be like that, but, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day or whatever. Fucking things take time. What was, where'd I read that or hear that? Change comes slow, if at all, you know? Man, what was that? Was that a song? Because that would be perfect. If it's a song, I could put it in. But yeah, change comes slow, if at all. Like, that's just how it is. But obviously, despite whatever choices I've made or paths I'm sticking to or whatever, I don't feel great about it. Because I woke up today feeling so bad. And so yeah, like I said, not a lot of sleep. I didn't eat anything, and I guess, like, pretty much right away, first thing, I was like, let me try meditating. Like, it's almost like experiments. Let's see what will work. You know, I knew I could start trying to exercise and do the normal thing of trying to get my body online and involved, and it'll kind of stamp out my brain or just make my brain not be carrying so much burden or not so much in control. Like, I really kind of almost feel bad for my brain sometimes, because it is like a junky brain and it wants so much that validation that I used to get from this girl, and that feeling, that like romance, fucking romantic attachment, love buzz hit. It just wants it so much. You know, and it's like the same way that I kind of, a lot of the setup for this relationship was not on very stable ground, and it was like, yeah, but I don't care because I want this feeling and I want this to be this way. So, I mean, my brain still feels like that. It still doesn't care. It's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how strange things have become. It doesn't matter how much this makes no sense anymore. It doesn't matter at all. I want this. I would just feel better if we could just get this thing. Like, it's weird to think of the brain as the side that's just crazy, that just doesn't make sense, that doesn't, isn't grounded and doesn't do things in a sensible way. It really is the body for me, that once my body is the one that's awake and in control, then things are grounded and things are normal and things are sensible. And it's like, yeah, like I was saying, I almost feel bad for my brain. It's like, I'm sorry for making you carry this weight that you clearly can't carry. But today I kind of wanted to try that. Like, I was like, all right, instead of exercise and instead of going and doing something physical or leaving the house or whatever, I'm going to try the meditation thing right now. Where, I think I said, it's basically just rain sounds, but it's these things called binaural beats. Holosync is the company. I just found a torrent of these things. You know, they're supposed to have like sub-audible binaural sounds that are supposed to help, but really, I don't know if that works at all. But they're like half hour of rain and some like bells. So I just sat here, you know, like eyes closed, sitting on my bed, legs crossed, just listening and just letting my head just like burn, you know, like just letting these thoughts just like just have nothing else to distract them. My body is still basically dormant. I haven't even eaten. I haven't done anything. And I'm just sitting there for like the whole half hour and just like, oh, just the thoughts just grinding away. And just like, it is like just a fire in my head that is not going out. And I'm sure I had a thought here and there, some things that I don't remember anymore, but like no big catharsis, no big moment. Like it definitely helped, but it was just like this fire is not going out. So then I got up and went for a walk, and man, it's getting so cold out, fucking Canada. But again, yeah, just that felt better to be outside, and it's like daytime and I'm getting sunlight. Which is also an important reason to try to fix my sleep schedule. We're hitting the point now where it gets dark very early, and I need some sunlight, man. I just need to have some. So I'm walking in that's not as bad, but it's still just these thoughts in my head just like tripping over themselves and just trying to sort things out and trying to do the two sides thing I was talking about last episode. I was like, all right, well, there's this, but then there's this, and there's this, and then there's this. But just, man, really not making progress. Just really just like, fuck, this day couldn't suck more. What the fuck? Although every once in a while, I do remember my old apartment and how it vibrated sometimes, where it was just like the apartment just vibrated like I was trying to sleep on a bus or something. And it made it so hard for me to sleep. And no matter what weird stuff is going on with my life right now, whenever I remember that, I always feel better because I'm like, man, no amount of emotional turmoil was as bad as that. Not even close, like not even in the same ballpark. Just having a vibrating apartment to where you can't sleep is a true nightmare. Like it was torture. I remember I would like go, you know, like Craig had his spare bed that he had just left at the apartment. So I would go to his bed and take all the cushions from all the couches. So I had like two layers of cushions and lay on my back so that my ear wasn't against my pillow, just so I'd get less vibrations that way, and put in headphones that played brown noise, because I found that helped with whatever inner ear stuff was picking up these vibrations, and take a sleeping pill. Although sometimes I didn't take a sleeping pill, because if you take a sleeping pill and then you're forced to stay awake, it's like a nightmare, a double nightmare. It's really bad. I remember one night just weeping because I just didn't know what to do anymore. Like, that's true, honest to God torture. No emotional pain is that bad. So that's the nice thing to remember, is like, things can be a lot worse. My life is basically comfortable. These problems are very highfalutin in the head fucking bullshit. But whatever, still problems. And I was still just feeling so shit. And then finally I got to a Wendy's. And I was, realized I hadn't eaten yet, and I was hungry as fuck, so I went into the Wendy's. And maybe it helped, too, that it was fast food. You know, when you get that, I don't eat it very much these days, so you get, like, soda I never drink. But I got, like, a root beer and a spicy chicken fucking sandwich combo. So you get, like, the grease and the salt and the sugar from the pop and the fucking fast food sandwich. So I think it was a combination of it, just that it was food. And that it was this kind of, like, pick-you-up, dirty-ass food. But just sitting there eating and finally getting food in myself, and so my body could become more involved and awake, it was amazing. Like, I just felt like, it's not like it cured everything, but just I felt this buoy of happiness. Just, I was sitting listening to a podcast, a movie review podcast or something, and just like, blah. And just, yeah, just feel like this unmistakable, super distinct, just feeling of everything is fine. Just broom, just bubble up inside me. And it was obviously, like, just based on physical changes, on the fact that I had food in me now. Like, really is amazing. Like, I guess things have always been like this or whatever. And I mean, I've walked an hour a day forever for my whole life, you know, just like I love walking, and I never really knew why. But I think even being aware of this connection between my mind and my body has made it stronger. Like, I'm aware of it now, and it's not just as mysterious, and it's, I guess, like, the more I observe it and the more I see how true it is, the more true it continues to be. Like, it was unbelievable. Like, the whole walk home from then on, I kind of leveled out. Like, it's not like I was happy, but I just wasn't depressed anymore. I was just like, okay, everything is kind of okay. It's just a normal day now. It's just fucking amazing. That's like magical. And once I could kind of get my head above water like that, I started thinking about, you know, like how I was saying that I think this time will be a time I'll remember fondly in my life later on. And that, you know, despite all of the shakeups this has caused, and this girl that I liked is now just gone, but there's still all this good that has come from it, but good that has been, like, something I've had to work for. Like, I have had to exercise every day and work every day and learn about, like, meditation, like, dedicate myself to it and really put effort into it. And what's extra nice about that is, I can't remember if I mentioned this, but I know I mentioned the girl Shannon who made the XO logo that is a personal trainer now. And I was talking to her on Facebook about this stuff and about, like, how transformative it can be to get in shape and to exercise, and, like, this nice sense of self-worth you get, and just how it, like, the discipline of it that I never appreciated before when I would see people that exercise, and now I understand more. But one thing she said that I didn't ask her if this was deliberate or like a weird just miss, like a mistyping. Because, you know, she's talking about, like, now that I've found this stuff and I've discovered these principles, like, it is going to help in the long run. And, like, I'll get over all this stuff and then I'll have this better kind of life afterward. And then she said, it's all uphill from here. And the normal saying is, for things getting easier, is it's all downhill from here. But I think that was deliberate, and I like that much better. That it's all uphill from here because I'm not denying how life works anymore. I'm not ignoring the facts of how you get places in life and how you progress and how you build things and how you feel better about yourself and how you feel proud of yourself. It is all uphill. It's work. It's work every day. But you're glad for it. You're happy to have the hill. It's like, I found the hill. Here's the hill. And now I'm going up this hill. And I'm going to have to work at it every day. And it's always going to be hard. I'm talking kind of like weirdly quiet because there's people home and I don't know. I can never tell how much they can hear me down here just ranting to myself. I hope they just assume I'm on the phone or something. But I just think that's such a great saying, the it's all uphill from here. I love that. That really makes me feel better whenever I think that. It's like it kind of shakes me free of whatever just maudlin sad thoughts I'm holding on to. Oh, so sad. Oh, boo-hoo about this or that. Or I wish this was different, or I wish everything just was great all the time and I didn't have to work for anything and everyone could just shower me with praise and happiness. But now just really knowing that that wouldn't even work, first off, that would just make me a miserable, weird prick. Just would not be, it would not make me a better person or a person that I was proud of or that I felt like I could rely on at all. And that I like the work. Like, that's when I was talking about a few episodes back about like these thoughts of like maybe life seems like it would be better if I just were a hunter or something. Because just the idea of like climbing, having to climb up a tree or a side of a hill or something, it's like I can do that. Like, my arms are strong now, you know? I mean, it's weird. Like, when I started this, I could only do 3 push-ups, you know? It's ridiculous. Now I have like muscles, man. I can feel them. Just flexing my arm under my shirt, I can feel that shit. Like, I want opportunities to test this more. I want to see what I can do. Like, that idea that it's all uphill is like a good feeling. It's a good feeling. It's like, I want to test myself. I want to see what I can accomplish. And of course, you know, that physical thing goes over to work as well. But I do like the physical side as like the baseline, as like the real thing. It's like, that's the one that's easy to grasp onto and to understand. Whereas like working on writing or something, it's a lot more abstract, but it's still like similar principles, similar sort of metaphor, except that the physical side isn't the metaphor, it's real. I really could climb up a bunch of shit right now, you know? I just had some shit to climb. I'm starting to really feel like I wish I had more equipment here. Like, I saw a thing about push-ups, and then now you can do kind of reverse push-ups, sort of a pull-up where it's like you take a barbell bar and lock it in place and then like hold yourself under it at an angle and pull yourself up instead of pushing yourself up. I used to have a pull-up bar at the old place. I wish I still had that. I can't even do like jumping jacks and shit here because the ceiling is so low in this basement apartment. If I stand on my tippy toes, I can touch it with my head. Like, to do overhead dumbbell exercises, I have to kind of kneel down on my knees. It's a weird place. Like I said, it's a weird place. I'm going to remember this fondly, I think. But yeah, just so the food really helped. And then I came home. And I haven't even started exercising like properly. I'm really just doing like stretches, but just really deliberate, long, slow stretches. And like those can really kind of wind you. And I just feel it. It's like all day, each step up the ladder has been feeling better, feeling better, feeling better. Then after I'm done exercising, I guess I really better work on this speech. And it's one of those things, like I feel resistance, like I don't want to do it. But when I do it, I mean, I know I'm going to feel better again. And it's like, I started at the bottom this morning. Like, I really woke up just like, fuck this. Holy fuck. And it's just like one rung up the ladder, another rung up the ladder, another rung up the ladder. Like, just pulling myself up out of this. So I guess that's all I wanted to say. Just one other quick thing, though. One thought I did have that I thought was kind of good. With the two sides to all stuff, you know, is like, a lot of the attraction I had to this girl was that she has a lot of problems. Like, you know, I don't mean that in a mean way. Just tough things that happened in her life, and just ways that she has a hard. I mean, just self-esteem, to put a general label on it. Self-esteem things, you know, just weaknesses, whatever you want to say. And I remember there's like an Elliot Hulse video about that. That was like, why, you know, why be, what is it that attracts you to people like this, to like thinking you can help them or thinking you can save them? And is it like some kind of complex where you just want to feel good about yourself? Or maybe it's like you had a parent that you could never save, and now you want to try to save someone else in their proxy and all this stuff, like these kind of non-grounded, so he always says like grounded or hysterical, so these like hysterical reasons for this stuff. And yeah, absolutely there's some of that. There's like this, just this ego hit, this nice feeling that like, hey, I can help this person and they're relying on me, and just that feeling of having someone like in your arms that kind of needs your help. It's almost like a parent-child thing, and it's just, yeah, like maybe that's not the best reason. Maybe that's like a little bit not like the healthiest way to proceed. But then on the other side, I really think it's because it's not like I'm Joe mental super health trying to help someone else. I got all kinds of problems of my own, you know? I've got as many problems, just a different array, but there's a lot of overlap between me and her. Like, there are a lot of things where it's like, yeah, you have these problems and I also have these problems that are some similar kind of thing. And I think like one of the reasons why I pursued her so hard and just held on so hard, no matter how many times it seemed obvious that this wasn't working out and it was like a weird mistake and a bad thing I was doing and just getting more and more off the rails, and I just kept holding on and kept holding on so much, I don't think I would do that for, like, I don't know, I guess I always have to give myself the benefit of the doubt somewhat. Like, some of that is like, yeah, I want this little hit, I want this like drug-like feeling and whatever, but eventually that's going to wear out. I think the thing that just kept me on it and just keeps me kind of thinking about her and keeps me feeling disappointed that it didn't go better is that notion that the best way to learn something is to teach it to someone else. You know, they've done studies and shit, and they found that that's like almost always the case. If you're trying to teach someone something, you have to learn it at a much more advanced level, and you're just more engaged and you're more receptive and your brain just starts working way better. And I felt like that with this girl. It's like, yeah, you have all these self-esteem problems and I have all these self-esteem problems, and if I try to help you, I'm gonna learn how to help myself. And I think that has to be true just from how upset it makes me just to say it. Like, that's why it seemed so important, and like something I couldn't let go and something I had to keep trying to get is, it's not just trying to help someone else, and it's not just trying to even just trying to help someone else for a self, you know, aggrandizing reason. It was really like this idea that her way out was also my way out, you know, like if I could help her, then it would help me too. And it didn't work out. And now I'm just trying to, you know, help myself. And it's kind of working. It's going okay. It's going some places. But yeah, you know, it's not the same. So I guess I used that to, you know, ignore a lot of stuff and to kind of keep me going when it seemed like I should clearly let go. It's like, of course there's stuff that's tough. Of course there's bumps in the road. That's the whole point, is to try to learn how to get past those things and to work through them and to overcome them and to grow. And yeah, it was like a very, again, just like a narrow connection, not a good percentage chance. Like, it really needed to be both people totally in, totally invested. And it wasn't just that she wasn't, I wasn't really either, but I just, like, I didn't know how to do it right. And I was coming at it from a weird angle, and like, I was not putting my best foot forward, but kind of not on purpose. I just didn't know what the fuck I was doing. But I like that idea, you know, that if not her, then I can, there are other people, you know, there's a whole world full of people. That need help with stuff. And I really do think, like, that idea of, I mean, there's like the idea of, you know, giving what you can to the world, of being of service to the world and to others. There's like the bad side of it, the like organized religion side, that is really just like, you are not valuable as an individual. You're only valuable insofar as what you can give to the community. Or I guess like hardcore socialism is the same thing. And that's just a weird control mechanism, and that's not cool. But the version where you do understand that you are the most important, you have to be the most important to yourself first. You have to have that kind of selfishness. But it's only because you can't help anybody until you help yourself, you know. And then to take it to the next level, to get it to the next place, it is like, what can you do to help others? What can you give to the world? I even like thinking of it that way, just with any kind of work. Like, even if I'm just like writing something, it's not just for me, you know. It's like, it's just nicer to think of it as like, if I finish this story and people like it, that is like a gift. That is like a gift to the world. I guess it's easy to see that maybe in like still a bad way, like, oh, you're just being full of yourself, oh, you're giving gifts to the world. That is more abstract with art and stuff, but I don't know. I guess I don't know how to get there yet, or how to go on that next step, how to do that, but that seems like the next kind of stage, is like, I can only help myself so much. Eventually I have to find other people, but yeah, not necessarily like go find someone to help me. Like, if I can find someone I can help, then that will help me. That will help me learn, you know, how to help someone else. Oh, what a weird day. And I still have like 4 or 5 hours before I can go to bed. But I think this will be just another episode with a lot of talking and like one song at the end. But I guess that's kind of how this shit is going these days. I wonder if I can find out what that song was, if it was a song. Let me look it up. Seems like it's a lyric from The Lord of the Rings, but that is certainly not what I was thinking of. And a U2 song, that's also not what I was thinking of. With U2, it's A Change of Heart Comes Slowly. Oh, it was. The fucking song I was thinking of is the one I played last show, Everything is Everything by Lauryn Hill. I can't fucking play that again. Come on. Fuck. Yeah, so I'll think of something.
Worn by all of the dust. There. This is a place where I don't feel alone. This is a place where I feel at home.
Tightly as you held on to me.
I'm going to end with a little video. This is by a YouTube guy named Yahya Bakar, Yahya Bakar. And it doesn't directly relate, but it's just, man, it's a really beautiful little video that I just found just now. But yeah, I really, really like this video. So I just want to end off with this.
So I want to share something that that's really personal. I've been going through it for a couple months now, and I'm even uncomfortable just knowing the fact that I'm going to be sharing this with you. I don't even know if I'm going to upload this video or not. I just feel like expressing myself. So my mom and I, my biological mother and I, we haven't really been talking for the past few months. And the truth is, I'm afraid to talk to her. A few things happened that I don't want to get too much into detail with, but it just shocked me, and it hurt me deeply. And I've forgiven her, but it's just very hard for me to trust her. And I recently had a talk with my father, and he surprised me, you know, coming to New Jersey. And, you know, we sat down, everything was okay. But I don't know why the conversation, I basically asked him if he's coming to my wedding. And he basically said, you know, only if you're gonna get married in a mosque. And I don't, you know, as you know, I don't follow any religion per se, and I'm not a Christian or Muslim or Jewish or anything. You know, I try to embrace all the wisdom and all religions and try to live them as best as possible. And so I told him I'm not going to do that, and he said, you know, here's the bottom line, you know, are you Muslim or are you not Muslim? And no matter what I say, I've been for the past couple of years, I've been just beating around the bush, not telling him, not being direct about my feelings, the things that I value, because I'm trying to save whatever relationship that I had with him. And I finally told him, you know, I'm not Muslim in the way that he wants me to be. You know, I don't practice it. I'm not like that. And he said, you know, as a Muslim father, you're not my son anymore. And that fucking ripped me apart, guys. That hurt me. That really hurt me. Really hurt me. So I've been dealing with these personal issues for the past... The thing with my mom has been going on for a couple of months. The thing with my father just recently happened. I mean, we were doing good for a long time. And I know what the right answers are. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know that everything happens for a reason, but I want to allow myself to express and experience this pain and not be afraid to show this side of me. You know, growing up, I've always felt that I wasn't enough. And the only time that I was enough was when I would entertain people to win their acceptance and approval. And a lot of that has come from, me not feeling loved. And I think that's one of the reasons why I talk about love and forgiveness so much, is because I need to give it to myself. I've been depending on my father, my mother, and everybody else to be my saviors. I've been walking around in eggshells just so I can please them and win their approval. And it's fucking bullshit. I gotta stop hurting myself like that. I don't know what's gonna happen. In the ideal world, I wish my father just like opened up his heart, opened up his mind. I wish my mother got over her past and healed her trauma. But it's not like that. My father taught me something really important, and I'm so grateful for him. Even though I think what's going on is fucked up, I'm so grateful for him because he taught me a very valuable lesson. He said, expect the unexpected and accept it. And my mom, she said something really powerful too when I met her. She said, the secret to completely standing in your purpose is love. And I think I've expected that my dad or my mom would fully love me for who I am. And when I do show up as I am, regardless of how I show up, and when it's not being received, I hold back. I stop expressing. I swallow my pride. And I'm done with that. I need to start loving myself. I need to start caring for myself. And it's so fucking hard. It's so hard. All this to say, I'm not blaming my father. I'm not blaming my mom. I know they're doing their best with what they know. I wish it was better. I wish my relationship was better. I wish everything. It is what it is. For those of you who are out there, who are listening to this, or who've watched this long, I don't want you to pity me. I'm not sharing this so you can feel sorry for me. I'm not asking for your help. I just needed to give myself permission to be vulnerable and to express this publicly and to call myself out. To put a light in the blind spot that I've had for so long, expecting other people to love me and trying to win their approval. Man, I'm done with that. I'm done. I'm ready. I'm ready to start my own life. I'm ready to start loving myself. I'm ready to create a family of my own, a chosen family that heal themselves, that work on themselves, that are there to give without an agenda, that are there to help without an agenda. I'm ready for all that. I hope this video serves you in some way. I really do. Ask.